This message unto you I'll give. It is recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you, Lord, and live. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. This message unto you I'll give. It is recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you, Lord, and look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It is recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you, Lord, and live. Look and live, my sister, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It is recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you, Lord, and it is recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you, Lord, and amen.
And peace from the grace and peace from the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you now and forevermore. We thank the Lord of all grace, who has given us this opportunity to gather on the line this morning. We say, may His name be praised. Hallelujah. We want to take some few readings and then we'll go straight into the word of God. I trust the Lord God Almighty that this morning He will give you a message in time, a message of the season, that your faith will be lifted up and you know that we are serving a living God. Amen. We are reading from Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 and 28. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 and 28. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Verse 2, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Joachim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kabar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness around about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of the one that speaks. Amen. We are also taking another reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Beloved, this morning, what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with the people of God, the saints of God, the people that God has purchased with his precious blood, is entitled Seeing the Glory of Jesus in Times of Crisis. Seeing the glory of Jesus in times of crisis. Beloved, the time that we are in it is very clear that we are in a time of crisis. We are in a time of anarchy. We are in a time that all of us are locked down. We are in a time of adversity. Some people will say that we are in a time of disaster, calamity, suffering, sorrow. This is the time that we find ourselves in. We cannot go out. We cannot come in. We are just there, don't know what to do. But I want to admonish you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is still sitting on the throne. And this morning, he will reveal his glory unto you, that even in this time, oh, you will see the glory of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. The message, the scriptures that will be read, I want to give the background, and then we put it in perspective so that we will understand this. The background of this message from Ezekiel and the one that our sister read from Psalm 137, verse 1 to 4. If you look at the historical perspective, Israel was a united kingdom that lasted for about 110 years. And this was during the reign of three kings, King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. Now, we all know the story that after Solomon has vacated the throne, his son Rehoboam became the king. And during his reign, the kingdom divided into two. So the divided kingdom were made up of 10 kingdoms that formed the northern kingdom that we call the Israel. And their capital was Samaria. And then the two of the other kingdoms, which was Judah and then Benjamin, formed the southern kingdom. And they have their capital at Jerusalem. Now, the northern kingdom They entered into idolatry, giving lip service worship to the Lord God Almighty, and therefore they fell into the hands of the Assyrians. So the Assyrians attacked them, and then they became captive to them. So leaving only the southern kingdom, which was Judah. So Judah also lasted for 135 years. Judah also lasted for 135 years. Now, during the time of one of the kings called Josiah, Josiah became king at the age of 8 years. And his story is being recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Josiah instituted a lot of reforms in order to rid the Israelites from their idolatrous worship. The Bible said that he sought the face of the Lord. And because he sought the face of the Lord, God grant them grace, God grant them peace, and God grant them prosperity. Hallelujah. But as time progresses, Josiah died. And when Josiah died, as a result of the attack by the Egyptians, the Bible said that the southern kingdom, which is the Judah kingdom, entered into idolatry again. And the whole nation was being plunged into sin. And this was under the reign of about four kings. King Joash, 609 BC. King Joachim, under King Joachim again. But this Joachim is C-H-I-M. The other one is K-I-M, Joachim and Joachim. He gave birth to this one. And then also under the reign of King Zedekiah. So under these people or these kings, the kingdom of Judah was wallowing in sin, indulging in all forms of idolatry, giving the Lord only lip service worship. So in the process of time, a series of attacks was launched by the Babylonian Empire. And this series of attack that was launched by the Babylonian Empire led by King Nebuchadnezzar was the deportation of the people from their promised land to the land of the captivity. And this deportation was done in three waves. In the first wave, in 605 BC, Babylon, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, conquered Jerusalem and then sent some of the young men and some of the people to Babylon. In this first wave, Daniel was among them. If you read Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, you will see it. It was in this time that Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken to Babylon. About 8 years later, King Nebuchadnezzar came again. He besieged Judah. And then during this time, he took about 10,000 men to Babylon and also took some treasured possessions, which was in the temple of God. This one occurs around 597 BC. If you want to know the story, you can read 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 11 to 18. During this second wave, A young man called Ezekiel was among the 10,000 people that were taken captive to the land of the Babylonians. Then in the third wave, Nebuchadnezzar came back again. And in this time, he did something very, very abnormal. He took the people away, and also the king at that time called Zedekiah. King Nebuchadnezzar's captains plugged his eyes so that the king became blind. The interesting story is that before the capture of the third wave, Jeremiah has already communicated to Zedekiah that the Lord has delivered you into the land of the Babylonians. So just surrender and then just go into the captivity, because he, the Lord, he knows what he's doing. But King Zedekiah did not accept or obey what the man of God is saying. Others were saying that it is not possible that the Lord will be able to send them into captivity. But the short of the story was that King Nebuchadnezzar came and then captured Zedekiah, plucked his eyes. And even in this time, the massacre was very great, because he burned the walls of Jerusalem and also burned the temple. Hallelujah. There is something that I want to bring it to your attention, especially the Sunday school people who are on the line listening to me. So Sunday school guys, listen to me. King Nebuchadnezzar is one of the greatest and powerful king who ever ruled Babylon. The name of his father was called Nabopolassar, Nabopolassar, Nabopolassar. This Nabopolassar is the founder of the Babylonian Empire, and he is the father of King Nebuchadnezzar. So when they ask you who is the father of King Nebuchadnezzar, you say that Nabopolassar. And this Nabopolassar, the father of King Nebuchadnezzar, gave King Nebuchadnezzar that name, King Nebuchadnezzar. The name is Nebu and then Cardinazar. This one comes from the word Nebo, N-E-B-O. The Nebo, if you do biblical study, it is the name that was given to the mountain that Moses climbed and died on it, Mountain Nebo. But this Nebo that we are talking about here is the name of the Chaldean god, well-known deity of the Babylonians and then the Assyrians. In fact, this god is the god who presides over learning and letters. In fact, they accredited him as the god of science and learning. In fact, some people even mimic this god with the Egyptian god called the Thoth, and also the Greek Hermes, and the Latin Mercury. In fact, scientifically or astronomically, the people say that this god is identified with the planet nearest to the sun. That is why the Mercury, god, nearest to the sun. So it's a god which was very powerful in that time. So King Nebuchadnezzar's father, Nabopolassar, named his first son after this god, Nebuchadnezzar, which means that may Nebu protect the crown. May Nebu or Nebu protect the crown. All that the father is saying is that, please, this god Nebu, protect my eldest son so that there will not be any misfortune against him. Now, the other interesting thing that I also want us to know we call the Sunday school people on the line and the youth, is that during the massacre of King Nebuchadnezzar used certain people who were having certain names. So interesting. And I want us to look at these names also. And you can see these names in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 11 and 13. Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 11 and 13. Now I read. Now King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had given these orders about Jeremiah through Nebuzaradan. Note this name, Nebuzaradan, the commander of the imperial guard. Verse 13, Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, Nebushaspan, a chief officer, Nergal-Sharazar, a high official, and all of the other officials of the king of Babylon. So look at their names. Nebuzaradan, Nebushaspan. Nebuzaradan means that may Nebu favor him. May Nebu favor him. Nebu, so may the God of the Babylonians favor him. Nebuzaradan. Sunday school people, Nebuzaradan. May Nebu favor him, or the one that Nebu favors. Then the other name is Nebushaspan. Nebushaspan. This one means that Nebu saves me. Nebu saves me. So these were the people that King Nebuchadnezzar used to take captives of the people of Judah to Babylon. Now, when King Nebuchadnezzar took the people of Judah to Babylon, he placed them on the river Kabar, the river Kabar. So he put all of them at that river. So that was where they settled. But when the Israelites or the Judeans were at the bank of that river, it was so interesting that some prophet also came in and said that, oh, the Lord is going to deliver you. You go back very soon to Jerusalem. And we know this story in Jeremiah chapter 29. So it was then that God came in with the word through Jeremiah to the people and said that, it was I, the Lord, who brought you to this place. It was not because you were weak, but it was because of your wickedness. Beloved, when people are wicked, when people are indulging in the form of idolatrous worship, when people are indulging in sin, when people are indulging in lip service, the Lord strips the hedge of protection around them, and then the enemy is able to get a contact onto that person. This was a story that happened to Job. When Satan went to Job and said that, this Job, he is worshiping you because you have built a hedge around him. So, beloved, when a person lives in the life of Jehovah, when a person obeys what the Lord is telling him, when he walks in holiness, purity, and righteousness, the Lord builds a protection around him. May the Lord build protection around you this morning in the name of Lord Jesus. So Jeremiah came in with a word and said that the Lord has a good plan about you, that is going to give you an expected end. He's going to give you a future. Your future is very prosperous. But in this land, make sure that you farm here. Make sure that you build your houses here. Here I am going to bless you and also pray for the prosperity of the nation, because it is when the nation prospers that you also prosper. Hallelujah. So Jeremiah came in with that way. So prophetically, even when they were even being there, her first prophet also came in and they said that the Lord cannot do that. The Lord cannot bring into that until the last wave, when Nebuchadnezzar even burned the walls of Jerusalem and even burned even the temple. And then they realized that what the Lord has really spoken is really true. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you look at it, it was among these people on the river Kabar that there was one gentleman, one young man, who was called Ezekiel. He was also there. And I will come to that one in a jiffy. So Ezekiel was also there. If you look at the Bible, look through the Bible said that even Ezekiel even built a house even there. He built a house there. Second Kings, you see that one there, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 24, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 1. So the people were not ordinary captives, but they also became colonists. And therefore, they had their abode there. But the sad thing was that as they were living at the bank of the river Kabar, every time these Babylonians will come to them, and then when they come there, they come and make a mockery of them. And then they will say that, hey, you people, you are in captivity. Sing one of the songs to us, the song that you enjoy. So they were mocking them. They were intimidating them. The place became a place of sorrow. It became a place of sadness. It became a place of bitterness. It became a place of barrenness. It became like a place of brokenness unto them. They were very sad. And one of them is what is being recorded in Psalm 137. And that was what the Israelites, they sang that, by the rivers of Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat, and then we remember Zion. And then they said that, how can we sing the verse 4? How can we sing the song of our Lord in a foreign land, in a strange land? I pray to the Lord God Almighty this morning that if we are going through bitterness in this time, may the Lord grant us the power of sweetness. At that time when the Israelites reached Marah and the water was very bitter, the Bible said that they went to Moses, and Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord showed Moses what to do, and the water became sweet. If any river of bitterness, river Kabar, is flowing into your life in this time of adversity, in this time of crisis, may that river of bitterness dry up in the name of the Lord Jesus. That river Kabar, that place that the Israelites were residing, Tel Aviv, is a place of barrenness. It's a place of barrenness. I praise the name of the Lord God Almighty. Any water that you drink in this time, that will make you barren. May all those water dry up in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said that the people went to Elijah. Said, Elisha, the city is very beautiful, but the water is not good. Anybody who drinks this water gets miscarried. How can you be in Babylon? How can you be in Babylon? How can you be in this situation and then be happy? I pray the Lord God Almighty, barrenness do not bring fruitfulness. Anything which has become barren in this time, may the Lord cause it to become fruitful in the name of the Lord Jesus. It was a place of brokenness. The people, they come and then they intimidate the people. They intimidate them. And then they say that, you know something, sing one of the songs that you were singing in Babylon to us. Very, very sad. They say, how can we sing? How can we enjoy? This is not a time to enjoy. It's not a time to be happy. It's a time of sadness. How can you be happy when you are in Babylon, a place of idolatrous worship? There is no even temple there. How can you go to the temple that Solomon built and then worship your Lord? How can you see the Shekinah glory that was resting on the Ark of the Covenant? How can you see the bronze altar of incense? How will you be able to see the lampstand, which was always burning? Oh, how can you smell smell the fragrance which was coming from the altar of incense. It was a place of brokenness. It was a place of sadness. It was a place of worry. Hallelujah. So it was in this place that this young man called Ezekiel was. Hallelujah. And now I want us to turn our attention to what I am going to discuss now. Now, when you read Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, it says that, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. Verse 2, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Joachim's captivity. So there was a young man who was also part of the people who had been captured. And this young man, if you read, his father was called Baz. So this man called Ezekiel, he was from the priesthood line or lineage. And in Jerusalem, you can only become a priest or a pastor or a minister when you come from that priesthood line, that Levitical lineage. It is when you come from that place, it's then that you can become what? A priest. And the interesting thing is that in the time of the Judeans or in Israel, a person can only become a priest at the age of 30 years. At the age of 30, it's when you are at the age of 30, is then that you will be ordained to become a priest. If you want to do biblical studies on this, you can look at Numbers chapter 4, verse 3. Numbers chapter 4, verse 3. So the priests in Israel were ordained at the age of 30 years. And this is so interesting that even when you read it in Luke Gospel, chapter 3, verse 23, you will see that our Master Jesus, the one who is the King of glory, the one that we follow, he also started his ministry at the age of 30 years. Now, look at something. If you look at the verse 2 or the verse 1, let's see. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 2, you see that, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kabar. Now look at this one in the verse 2. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Joachim's captivity. So if you look at this, Ezekiel was taken into captivity at the same time that King Joachim was also taken into captivity. So it means that if it is at the fifth year of King Joachim and now is the 30th year, then by doing simple mathematics, it tells you that the time that Ezekiel was taken into captivity, that time he was at the age of 25 years. He was at the age of what? 25 years. The Bible explained it very clearly to us. He was at the age of 25 years. Now, as I've explained to you, the people of Israel became priests at the age of 30. So this is a young man, Ezekiel, who was at the age of 25 when he was taken into captivity. And now he's at the age of 30 years. And then he will have been in Israel, but now he has become a pastor. He will have been ordained to become a pastor. Here is the case. He is in the land of Babylon. He is at the river Kabar. So this young man is wondering, hey, so it means that my life has come to an end. If I was in Israel, by now I would have been preparing, I would have been rehearsing to come and then proclaim my ordination vows. Here I am in the land of the Babylonians. I am in the land of slavery. I am in the land of captivity. Beloved, I want to tell you this morning The Lord God Almighty has not forgotten about you. It is not because of this coronavirus. Whatever the Lord has planned about you will not come to pass. Everything is going to come to pass. So many people were preparing, even to come and marry, weddings, etc. And now we don't know what is happening. So many people gave birth and they want to come and then dedicate their children. Now we don't know what is going on. Even so many people were about to receive their promotion, but then here we are in coronavirus. Even our high school people, those in grade 12, are about to graduate and then enter into the tertiary. Here we are in this state. So you ask yourself, you are wondering, oh, has the Lord forgotten about me? Oh, is it going to be possible for me? I want to assure you this morning that even in this time of crisis, oh, may the Lord show his glory towards you. You will see his glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Ezekiel was wondering, what is going to happen to me? So does it mean that my destiny is not going to be fulfilled? Am I not going to be a priest so that what the Lord has entrusted into my hands, I will not be able to execute it? Oh, my life has come to an end. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. My mother listened to me. My father listened to me. My friend, my sister listened to me. I want to tell you that the Lord has not forgotten about you. There is still hope for you. And the last thing that he has said concerning your life will surely come to pass. Hallelujah. In times of crisis, the Lord always shows his faithfulness towards his people. May you receive the faithfulness and the goodness of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. So as Ezekiel was wondering what was happening to him, the Bible says in the verse 1 that now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kabah. So as he was there, as he was wondering, certain things happened to him. That is what I want us to look at it, and we see what we are going to learn from it. One, Elijah said that as I was at that river Kabah, that the heavens were open. The heavens were open. So the first thing that happened to Ezekiel, even at that moment of despondency, at that state of despair, at that state of confusion, the Bible said that the heavens opened unto Ezekiel. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the heavens will open to you, even in this time of crisis. When the heavens open, it means that God is raining his blessings upon you. May the blessings of the Lord God Almighty come upon you even in this time of crisis. Hallelujah. This is not the first time that the heavens has opened. In Mighty Gospel chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible said that when Jesus Christ was being baptized, the heavens opened unto him, and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove and rested upon him. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that this morning, this time, may the heavens open unto you in the name of Lord Jesus. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verse 56, the Bible said that when Stephen was being stoned, Stephen looked into the heavens. And the Bible said that the heavens opened unto him, and he saw Jesus Christ seated at the right-hand side of God. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 11, when Peter was also at Joppa, after the angelic visitation to Cornelius, the Bible said that the heaven opened unto Peter at Joppa, and he saw something like a sheet which was descending. The heavens opened unto Peter at Joppa. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, our main man, Apostle John, when he was also in the island of Patmos, the Bible said that he looked, and there before him was a door standing in heaven open. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that in this time may every door be open unto you, doors of opportunity, doors of advancement, doors of elevation. May it open unto you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We know a story in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 51. The Bible says at one point in time, when Philip has seen Jesus Christ, he called Nathanael and said, Nathanael, I've seen the one that the prophet has spoken, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Oh, Nazareth is a place of accursed, the place which has been captured by the Romans. Nothing good can come from there. And Philip said, I come and see. When Nathanael was coming, Jesus said, this is a real Jew in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, do you know me? Jesus Christ said, yes, I know you. The time that you were standing under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael said, now I believe that you are the Messiah. Jesus said, do you now believe because I said this? Look at what Jesus said in the verse 51. John chapter 1, verse 51. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, you will see heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. May the heavens open unto you this morning, and may the angels of God ascend and descend upon you. That means that may you receive an angelic assistance. May you receive an angelic visitation this morning. In the name of Lord Jesus, may they come and help you in times of trouble, in times of need. May the angels of God always be there to support you. Hallelujah. In times of crisis, the heavens open unto Ezekiel. Not only that, the second thing that happened to Ezekiel, the same verse 1, he said that the heavens opened and I saw visions of God. I saw visions of God. The second thing that happened to Ezekiel was that he saw the vision of God. I pray that you will see a vision of God this morning. In this time, may the Lord reveal his vision unto you. Ezekiel experienced these amazing visions by the Lord. He saw the Lord at this river, at the bank of the river, in the captivity. He saw the vision of the Lord. Ezekiel was not dreaming. Ezekiel was not asleep. He was awake, and the Lord revealed many visions unto him. May you receive the vision of God this morning. May you receive the revelation of God this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The third thing that happened to Ezekiel, let us look at the verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3. So that the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. So the third thing that happened to him was that the word of the Lord came to him. May the word of the Lord come to you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The fourth thing in the same place was that the hand of the Lord came to Ezekiel. So the hand of the Lord, may you receive the hand of the Lord this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel. Receive the hand of the Lord. When the hand of the Lord comes, it comes with empowerment. When the hand of the Lord comes, it comes with strength. The hand of the Lord connotes the power of God. May you receive the power of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When you read Ezekiel, you find out seven times the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel. One of the times was when the hand came upon him, and the Bible said that he was being lifted into the valley of dry bones. And then he spoke to that hopeless situation, that dry bones arise and march forward. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that this morning may the hand of the Lord that comes with the power of the Almighty God come upon you so that you speak to every hopeless situation, and that hopeless situation will receive life. Hallelujah. The hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel at that time. The fifth thing that happened to Ezekiel is found in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. Ezekiel 1, 28. If you read, say that the glory of the Lord, Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord. He saw the glory of the Lord. The heavens opened. And he saw Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, and the appearance of it is the glory of the Lord. He saw the rainbow. Last time I explained in the church to you that the glory is kabod. That means weight. It is the presence of God. It is the splendor of God. It is the honor of God. It is the power of God. In this time, may you receive the honor of God. May you receive the power of God. May you receive the beauty of God. May you receive the holiness of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, he saw the glory of God. Ezekiel saw the glory of God, even in the land of the Babylonians, at the river Kaba. May the Shekinah glory, the tangible presence of God's grace, which was resting upon the Ark of the Covenant and upon the tabernacle, may you receive this presence this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sixth thing that you see, Elijah's ministry was always accompanied by the glory of God. I want you to read this one. If you read Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28, you will see that the glory of the Lord appeared to Ezekiel. If you read Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 12, Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord again. If you read Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 23, he saw the glory of the Lord again. If you read Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 4, he saw the glory of the Lord. So even in that time of crisis, even when he was even in the Babylonian city, a place of idolatrous worship, a place of sadness, a place of bitterness, the Lord still showed his glory to him. May the Lord reveal his glory to you, even in this time, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And when Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord, the Bible said that he fell prostrate with his face down, and the Lord touched him. The fifth thing that Ezekiel that happened to him is found in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand up unto your feet, and I will speak unto thee. The first thing is that the Lord spoke to Ezekiel. May the Lord speak to you this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you need a spoken word, a word that will change your destiny. The Lord said, as Son of Man. Son of Man is only the name that is given to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man because Jesus Christ is the conduit, is the medium, the only way that God speaks to his people. But here is the case, God is calling Ezekiel Son of Man. It means that in that time, God is going to use Ezekiel to speak to the situation. God is going to use Ezekiel to turn things around. May the Lord use you at this time to propagate his gospel. May the Lord use you at this time to be able to bring hope to people. May the Lord use you at this time to be able to do a lot of exploits in the name of Lord Jesus. Son of man, the Lord spoke to him. May the Lord speak through you this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. The last thing that happened to Ezekiel is found in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Ezekiel 2, verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me. When he speak unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that speak unto me. So the last thing or the seventh thing that happened to Ezekiel was that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Ezekiel, and the Spirit came to strengthen him up. The name Ezekiel means that God strengthens, or the one who is being strengthened by God. May the Spirit come upon you this morning and then strengthen you. Several times, the Spirit of the Lord came upon people and then strengthened them. We can see several of them in the Bible. Balaam received the Spirit of God in Numbers 24:2. Othniel, the first judge, in Judges chapter 3, verse 10. Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, verse 34. Samson, in Judges 13:25. Saul, in 1 Samuel 10:10. David, 1 Samuel 16:13. Azariah, 2 Chronicles 15:1, and Zerubbabel, Zechariah 4:6. All of them received the Spirit of God. And when they received the Spirit of God, they were able to do whatever that the Lord has entrusted them to do. Because the Spirit brings comfort. The Spirit brings happiness. The Spirit brings joy. Hallelujah. So these are the things that happens to Ezekiel. What do we learn from this? What do we learn from this? Seven things happened to him. One, the heavens opened unto him. Two, he saw the vision of God. Three, the word of the Lord came unto him. Four, the hand of the Lord came unto him. Five, the glory of the Lord was lifted upon him. Six, the Lord spoke to him. Seven, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. May all these seven elements that God gave to Ezekiel become your portion this morning in the name of Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, listen to something as I'm bringing the message to an end. If you didn't hear anything, this one, have this one in your heart, and it will be a blessing to you. Now, what happened is that, you see, Ezekiel was worried. He was at the river Kabah. Now, it is his 30th birthday. Let's take it like that. And then his time of ordination is about to expire. There is no way that he can become a priest of Israel. But thanks be to the Lord God Almighty that Ezekiel, what happened to him was very serious. That day, if Ezekiel has been in Jerusalem, the high priest, an ordinary mortal man, would have ordained him as a priest. But this time at the river Kabah, God himself ordained Ezekiel as a priest. God ordained Ezekiel as a priest. It was one man who ordained Ezekiel as a priest. Now, two, if Ezekiel would have been in Jerusalem, he would have been only a priest. But here is the case at the river Kabah. In time of adversity, in time of crisis, the Lord ordained Ezekiel both as a priest and also as a prophet. So he received double portion, double honor from the Lord. This morning, may you receive double grace, double anointing, double blessing from the Lord. The man is now a priest and what? A prophet. We don't have these people in the Bible plenty. It's only Jeremiah who was a priest and then a prophet, and also Zechariah who was a priest and then what? A prophet. You either become like a priest or you become a prophet, or you become either what? A prophet. But you cannot become two. But here is the case. Ezekiel is a priest and he's also what? A prophet. And because he was a priest, you see that he was able to say so many things concerning heaven, because he really understood how the things in the household of God operate. Hallelujah. The last thing that I want us to also to look at it here was that, you see, everything that the Lord does is very, very interesting. You see that Ezekiel is a contemporary of Daniel and then Jeremiah. They are all contemporaries. They are all contemporaries. So now what happened is that first Ezekiel was at the river Kabah, ministering to the exiles at that river. At that same time, Daniel was also in the palace ministering to King Nebuchadnezzar and his officials. So Daniel was also doing the work of the Lord at that same time, that same period in the palace, whilst Jeremiah was also being left at Israel to minister to the poor of the poorest. So while Jeremiah is ministering in Israel or in Jerusalem, Ezekiel is ministering at the river Kabar to the exiles, and then Daniel is also ministering in the palace. What does it mean? It means that you must only be at the right place, the place that God wants you to be. At this time, God wants you to be here. And whatever that he has said about you, it will come to pass. If the Lord is saying that, oh, you will marry this year, for sure you will marry this year. The Lord is saying that you will give birth to this year, you will give birth this year. If the Lord is saying that you get a promotion, you get a promotion this year. Whatever the Lord has said concerning you, it will come to pass. May the Lord grant you grace that in this time, you will see the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord at the time that he was in the land of the Chaldeans. May you see the glory of the Lord in this time. God richly bless you. Amen.
But that is listening to me, you may be on this phone line this morning, but you are not here by an accident. This is a divine appointment. We hear and we see, and we know how souls are being perished. I am throwing a challenge to you that if you have not encountered this Jesus that we have encountered, and through him we have faith and believe that when we pray and we ask anything according to his will, he does it. If you have not encountered him, I want to introduce this Jesus to you. You may be invited by someone to join the line. You may be a member of the church over the years. You may call yourself born again probably over 20 years. Probably you might not have had real encounter with this Jesus. I want to introduce this Jesus to you. For the days that we live in are evil. You cannot tell what tomorrow brings, but the hope we have is that because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Bible says that with our mouths, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and with our heart we believe unto salvation, that he died and God raised him up from the dead. Romans chapter 9, verse 9 to 10. Wherever you are, as the church agrees with me in prayer, I want to pray with you. And I want you to repeat these words after me. And I want you to do it deep from the depth of your heart, because we don't know what tomorrow awaits us. Bible says it's once appointed unto a man to die, and after death there is judgment. You will die one day, but God will judge you according to your works here on earth. And the biggest question is, what did you do with Jesus when you were alive? He's the savior of your soul. He's our great deliverer. Repeat these words after me. As your right hand is lifted up, wherever you are, if you are driving, just keep your hands down to your corner steer and say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word this morning. I have recognized that I am a sinner and that I need a savior. I know that you are the Son of God who came down onto this earth to die for me. You came to die for my sins. And I also believe that God raised you up from the dead.